This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride & Son Home Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. Stricken Tuna coming up next with the Friday Slop. We're getting some great selections on burgers. King Louie's in Wood River. I love finding joints like that. That's neat. Michael's Burgers at Michael's. Are you talking about the place Manchester in Maplewood? Is that the one? Let's see what else. Oh, there's a small percentage of our audience who believe that the amount of teams making the NHL playoffs is appropriate. Well, I got to tell you something. You're wrong. The playoffs, in no league ever, should more than half the teams make the playoffs. The playoffs are special, okay? So in no league out there, in grade school, high school, college, professional, should more than half the teams make the playoffs. That's the bottom line, okay? So you can say what you want, but that's the way it should be in sports. All right, let's welcome to the program the author of the most famous tackle in Super Bowl history.
So it all comes down to this. 6 seconds to play. Reaches to the goal line. No, he falls at the one. Time runs out. That's it. St. Louis, the gateway to the West, is now the gateway to the best football team in the world. The St. Louis Rams are the world champions.
All because of Mike Jones, who joins us now. Mike, congratulations on the new job. How are you today, young man? Oh, we lost him there. Oh, we'll try him one more time. If you haven't heard, we had the story last night on Channel 5. Mike Jones, the pride of the University of Missouri and the St. Louis Rams, has become the new head coach at St. Louis University High School. The author of The Legendary Tackle replaces a legendary coach in Gary Kornfeld. What a tremendous hire for St. Louis U High, for Mike Jones to become their new head football coach. Mike, congratulations. How are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. Thank you.
Boy, this job has been in the works for a long time. I've heard your name for like weeks, almost months. This has been a long time coming. Tell me about the whole job process for you here.
Well, you know what? I think St. Louis U, you know, they are, first of all, great, you know, education-based high school. And, you know, they want to get the best for their kids. They want to do it right. You know, they mentioned that, you know, of course, they've only had two coaches in the last, I think, 50 years. So, you know, they want to make sure the guy they're going to hire is going to be the guy, a good fit for what St. Louis U wants to do, what their vision is, what their mission is. And also, you know, because it's been only two guys there and both of them were great coaches, they want to make sure they just got a good fit. And they took their time with it. You can understand that when you have, you know, such tradition and, you know, your oldest institution west of the Mississippi as far as what we're doing. So there's a lot of different things that went into why it took a little while, a little longer than usual. So, you know, I was okay with it. Like I said, it just showed that they really care about their institution. They want to make sure they make the right hire.
How many interviews you think you had during the process?
More than one, less than 100. Let's put it that way.
Have you had a chance to talk with the man you'll be succeeding, Gary Kornfeld, who had such an unbelievable career?
I haven't yet. I'm going to be talking to him hopefully in the next couple of weeks. I want to reach out to Coach. You know, he's done a great job there. And, you know, he was there for 29 years, I believe, as a head coach. So, you know, he has a lot of things, a lot of information that he can give me to help me, you know, as I transition to the head coach.
So the good news is you're taking over this wonderful, you know, football program at this school where you're going to be, you know, coaching good athletes, but also great kids. That the academics at St. Louis U High are so unbelievable. You know, the tough news is, Mike, you're entering a conference where you got to deal with CBC and Chaminade. Wow.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, they have great competition in the Metro Catholic. You know, it was ironic when I left, you know, St. Louis from coaching over at Hazelwood East. You know, the Suburban North was pretty tough too. So, you know, if you want to be a coach, you want to be, you know, play against the best. Metro Catholic right now is doing a phenomenal job. You know, between CBC, Vianney, you know, Vianney won a state championship, I believe, this year. Chaminade, DeSmet, all these different great institutions that, you know, have high academic standards and great football. So, you know, we're going to have a challenge. I understand that. But, you know, I'm really excited about the challenge and look forward to it.
Yeah, that's the thing I think people sometimes forget is that, okay, we think of Mike Jones, we think the tackle, and then we think of the long run at Lincoln, but we forget you won a state championship, and I think you shocked a lot of people at Hazelwood East when you won it that year.
Yeah, you know what? We had a good group of kids. You know, we weren't the biggest kids. They just played hard, and, you know, they would not be denied. I mean, had a great group of kids, a great group of coaches, a great, you know, organization, you know, between Corey Johnson being, you know, transitioning and showing me how to become a coach. I mean, Coach Johnson, you know, he was a head coach, and I followed him. Of course, at the Garzinski, so I'm kind of in the same shoes as Slew. You know, you had only two head coaches at Hazelwood East before I got there, and in the last 50 years, you only had two coaches at Slew. So, you know, I kind of understand the tradition of having someone there for a long time and understanding the nature of the institution that you're at. And I think with that being said, that'll help me because there's still guys there that can help me along the way of learning all the ins and outs and the different things that Slew that I'll need help with.
So what do you do offensively? For our younger audience, you were actually a running back at the University of Missouri, but a linebacker with the Rams where every day in practice you win against the greatest show on turf. So what are you like offensively?
Well, you know what? I think that we're going to figure out what we are once I figure out what type of players we have. I don't like going into a job and saying, well, we're going to be an I-formation team, come downhill, and we don't have the personnel to do that, or a spread team, and we don't have one wide receiver. So you have to be kind of careful what you're going to say you're going to run because you just don't know what you have. So, you know, we're excited about working with the young men. You know, whatever offensive, defense, special teams we'll run, you know, we're running to the best of our ability. We'll coach them up, and at the end of the day, hopefully we have more opportunities to win than we don't.
What about staff? I know you just took the job, but I'm getting texts and tweets here at the station. Are you bringing Tony Van Zandt? Are you bringing Jimmy Collins? What's that look like?
I literally took the job, agreed to the job at 9 this morning. So we are, like I said, you are my first interview, you know, Frank. So I guess, you know, you are the first guy to break it as far as where I'm talking about it. And officially, so we haven't done anything yet. You know, of course, I have relationships with guys in St. Louis. You know, Tony is a great, very good friend of mine, and so is Jim Collins. But, you know, we haven't talked about exactly what we're going to do. I still have to talk to Chris, the AD over at SLU, about, you know, possible hires and all the ins and outs. So right now, Mike Jones is the head football coach at SLU, and that's about as far as we can go.
You know where your first dilemma is going to be? Your first little argument at SLU is going to be with Irwin Claggett, because Irwin's going to want all his players to be playing basketball 12 months a year and don't get hurt in football, and you're going to need some of these athletes to help you in football too. So you better straighten out Claggett right away.
Right. Now, well, Claggett, you know, it's ironic because I think he, when I did the interview, one of the many interviews I had, he was sitting in on one of them, and we talked a little bit about, you know, how we approach other student athletes participating in other sports. I was a 3-4 sport athlete, so I firmly believe in guys playing in as many sports as they can. It's been proven that more kids get injured by playing one sport compared to playing multiple sports. So, you know, I'm all for if a young man is talented enough or a young lady talented enough to play multiple sports, especially at a young age, do that. So, he will have no problem with me having kids playing multiple sports.
Yeah, I think that is a great thing. I hate it when these coaches just try to make them specialize. They're more I think they're more susceptible to injuries too if you're just doing one sport 12 months a year. So that's great to hear. So
just think about LeBron James. LeBron played football until he was a junior in high school. Doug Smith, who I went with to at Mizzou, Doug was a football player with Jerome Bettis. Him and Jerome played on the same football team till he was a junior. Of course, Doug was 6'9", and LeBron is 6'8". So, I mean, eventually they knew what they were going to do, but they still played multiple sports and were successful. Anthony Peeler. I mean, Anthony Peeler was a great baseball player, played against him in baseball. So if you're good, and I say this to everyone, if you're good in one sport or multiple sports, they're going to still see you. You know, you playing basketball, an extra amount of football, and not playing anything other than that, if you're a talented enough kid, they're going to see you anyway.
What about your demeanor and relationship with players and the difference between college, coaching college kids and coaching high school kids? You know, everybody that knows Mike Jones knows that he's a good guy, he's easygoing and everything. But is it a little different in your treatment of high school players as opposed to college players?
Well, I had to learn two things. It was a great experience for me to coach at the collegiate level because the young men that I work with, I'm still working with 18-year-old to 22 to 23-year-old young men. They're still learning how to be men. And now, granted, at high school, you know, you got kids going through puberty and all those different things. But I'm still building men, and that's what we always try and work with. Making sure that we are building good, high-character young men. Coach Ramil said this all. This is one of the things I always take from him. Someone asked him, why was he a good coach? And he said, well, you know what? I'm a teacher of men who just happen to be a football coach. And that's the way I approach it. If I can teach a young man how to become a better person, a better man, and still get better at football, you're going to get a quality young man. He's going to do everything he's supposed to, and you're going to win more than you lose. So I approach it that way, build high character, build men that, you know, build them up from where they are. Everyone's not at the same level. You know, some kids have some things, some kids don't. Some kids have been taught certain things, some kids haven't. So I've learned that I can't start everyone at the same level because everyone is not at the same level. So I try and go where they are and understand how to get them to where I want them to go.
I think one time when I visited you at Lincoln, you told me that you had kept in pretty good contact with Coach Vermeil, or he was one of the first people who you talk with as soon as you took over the job. Has he been a sounding board for you through the years, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. Coach Vermeil, you know, it's funny because I talked to Coach, you know, when I first got into coaching. When I became the head coach, we won the state championship. And then the year after we won the state championship, we went 0-4. So I call him up and, you know, I'm, you know, kind of down in the dumps. And, you know, so he gets quiet. He's listening to what I'm saying. He waited about, you know, 10 seconds. Says, the problem isn't the kids, Mike. The problem's you. He said, you got to get these guys ready to play. They don't want to worry about, you know, they don't want to hear you complaining about what's going wrong. You got to show them what's right and keep on building on that. No, and Coach is great at that. He's not gonna sugarcoat it. He's gonna make sure you understand that what you need to do to become a better coach or a better player. He's gonna go where you're at, understand where you're at, and then take you where you need to go. And that's, like I said, some of the things that I've learned. That's the biggest thing I've learned from him is you know, going where the kids are and getting them to where you need them to go. And you got to understand who you're coaching. That's the biggest thing. You got to have a relationship with your kids. I mean, they're not going to trust you if they don't have a relationship with you. So you got to build a relationship with the young man you're working with. Be honest with them. And sometimes honest means being brutally honest, you know, but they'll respect it. They may not like it, but they'll respect it. So, you know, just stay with the same stuff we've always worked with. You know, just always work, building young men, being honest with them, being brutally honest with them, and, you know, making sure they're doing the right thing and good things are happening.
Before we let you go, a couple of quick Rams thoughts. Kurt Warner, of course, going into the Hall of Fame, and we had Coach Vermeil on recently, and he said that when he was making that decision about, you know, going with Kurt after Trent got hurt, he said in practice when the second stringers were going against the first team defense, he either thought that your defensive backs were not very good or Kurt was unbelievable because the ball never hit the ground. How do you remember at least the early stages when you went against Warner in practice every day? Did you know, wow, this guy really is freaking accurate?
You know what? And everyone says this, But the bottom line is, no one knew how good Kirk was going to be. You know, he was a second string quarterback. The year before that, we won four games. He was a backup quarterback on a 4-win team, and we didn't. Like I said, he wasn't throwing the ball to Isaac or Torrey or Ricky. You know, we had scout team guys he was throwing the ball to. So when he came in during camp, you know, yeah, Kurt had some tools. You knew that, but no one thought he was going to be Hall of Fame Kurt Warner. But you know, when the lights came on, it was his time to perform. He did exceptional. Every level he's done that. If you look back from high school to college to World League, arena football, when his number was called, he always showed up. And the same thing happened when he got to the Rams.
Mm. Then a final thought. We played the tackle before we brought you in today. Take us in that huddle. I know there was that famous video of like Vermeil yelling at Kevin Carter, "You're not coming out. It's the Super Bowl. It's the final play." What was actually going on in that huddle? And did you have any sort of anticipation that, hey, this could be my time to shine? Or take me through that final moment.
Well, you know what? It's ironic because when you watch all the stuff that went around on television, I didn't see it, you know, because I was on the field the entire time. So when guys, I was a signal caller. So I didn't see who was running in and who was running off. I'm looking to the sideline to see what the next play is. So by the time I get the call, I'm looking in the huddle. That's when I find out typically who's in the game. The only person I really worried about was, ironic, was London and Charlie, because London, I played one position in one part of the field. I don't think I was a Mike, and then in the red zone, I was a Will. And because Charlie Clemens would come in, him and London would flip flops. So I would have to worry about the signal, and then finding out which linebacker was in. So we call timeout, come in to the sideline, we come back, get the play. We knew what we were running. When the ball is snapped, like I said, we have certain responsibilities, and you know, I'm just looking at my responsibility. I wasn't really thinking, okay, I got to make a great play or anything like that. I just thought, you know, run the defense, do what you're supposed to. And I just happened to see, like I said, watching Dyson come back, my responsibility was to make sure no one came underneath me. So I just saw Kevin, and I tell everybody the same thing. I thought I was going to kill Kevin. I didn't think Kevin saw me. I was looking at him the whole time thinking he didn't know, and then find out later, he knew exactly what I was going to do, and he thought he was going to beat me for a touchdown. So if you ask two guys the same question between me and Kevin, you're going to get two totally different answers because of our mindset. So it wasn't anything I thought that was going. I was going to go in and make a great play or anything like that. I just thought, you know, when we brought this huddle, stop them and win the game. And then if my number's called, just don't make a play.
And if there's 365 days in a year, how often are you reminded of the tackle?
362. They probably won't do it on Easter and Christmas. That's about the only 2 days they may not, and maybe one other day.
Mike, Congratulations. It's a well-deserved honor. I know you're going to do great things with a great program. Thanks so much for your time, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys take care.
All right. Mike Jones joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. I'm telling you, this was one of the longest job searches. There were a lot of qualified candidates. There are a lot of people who wanted that job because at St. Louis U High, you are getting athletes. They do have, you know, good athleticism level, but you're also getting great kids, you know, great students. That is a tough school to navigate through. So it's something else. And I'm so happy for Mike Jones. Mike Jones. All right, we'll take a short timeout. Oh, you know what? I got some spots to do, I'm sure. I should tell you about one of our great sponsors, Winning Streak. If you're looking for a place to buy uniforms, maybe your work atmosphere, maybe you need some polo shirts, maybe you need some uniforms for your baseball team or your softball team this summer, why not go to the best? Why not go to Winning Streak? It's Chris Brown's company. The phone number is 888-570-6194. 888-570-6194. They have you covered from head to toe. And then also a reminder about Lion's Choice. Yesterday, they brought in the lunch, and they're bringing out the Lion's Choice salads. Brendan, you had one of those salads. Can you give us a little insight on how good that was?
It's fantastic. It's got the ham, the turkey, and the roast beef in it. It's just full of meat. And I was also impressed by the leaves on the lettuce leaves on the salad, because sometimes you just get a bunch of iceberg, and it's not really high quality. But The leafy greens were good. The dressing was good. It was all very good stuff.
Man,
that was an in-depth analysis on salad there, Brendan
Schaefer.
I know my food. Not quite as well as Frank does, but I know my food,
Brian. Break down the Blues, Cardinals, and Lions choice salad. Very nice. And it's called the Butcher Block Cobb Salad, featuring their trio of famous proteins, roast beef, turkey, and ham. I called Joe Battisi, my good friend at Lion's Choice. I said, we want the recipe at Kimal's. We want to start serving the Lion's Choice salad at Kimal's. It's that good. All right, we'll take a short time out. Phone calls and texts when we come back.